This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Hold on.
I'm just trying to think. Let's see. With the station ID?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Let's see. Ready?
Yep.
Hey, everybody. This is Christelle Alonso, and I am boldly going where no man has gone before, or maybe they have. I don't know what kind of life you live. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
Beautiful. Thank you.
I love what I love, and I have no apologies about it. I mean, you know, I grew Doctor Who. I adore. I love anything. I don't know. I mean, I'm a geek. I'm a Latina geek, and I just feel like that was another thing in the show. I write references to Star Trek and Doctor Who and Star Wars because that's who I am in real life.
Christella Alonso.
Oh, thank you for second breakfast. It sounds like my kind of morning.
Well, I have second or third sometimes.
I do too. I go into chapters. I'm like, this is my fifth breakfast. I do donuts. I do, you know, waffles, pancakes, cereal.
You should have been a cop. Do you ever think of that as a career?
Please.
Oops, wrong. Oh. Good morning. It's your second breakfast time here on Joy 94.9. And thanks again to the tag team this morning for a great breakfast, taking you through to Thursday's lunchtime, first of the lunches. But second breakfast includes elevensies and other hobbit treats here on Joy 94.9. I'm Sonia, taking you through. We're now looking at 13 degrees, actually, heading to a 17. And at 7 minutes past nine, not too bad at all outside of Melbourne. I think we're heading to spring now, maybe. What's going on in Melbourne town? So much stuff is happening in Melbourne town for sure. And one of those things that are happening in Melbourne town, of course, is the International Comedy Festival. And the Comedy Festival in Melbourne is, it kicked off last week. This week. It's still this week, isn't it? Goodness me, time does fly. Yes, comedy in Melbourne with all the different acts. Usually we have so many amazing international and also fabulous local peoples as well. And today I'm very honoured to have in the studio around about 9:30 this morning the most amazing Christella Alonso. She'll be coming in. Ooh, I'm excited. And she'll be talking about, I guess, herself, which will be cool. But also she's going to be performing in Melbourne very soon. So if you want to hear what she's all about and have a bit of a chat with her, I'll send us a message in if you are a fan. Just let us know any questions you may have. We have a little bit of time with her around about half of this hour at 9:30. Yes, the Comedy Festival started on the 25th and it's going all the way through to the 19th of April. So many things. It's a very big event for Melbourne. Probably up there, I would say it's probably the biggest event of its kind for Melbourne City. But as far as numbers goes and prestige and just some of the variety of work that's out there, stand-up and comedy and so on, and spoken word that's funny, just amazing. So there's all sorts of clubs. There's a festival club. There's even class clowns this time. And we've got stuff for kids. There's all sorts of awesome shows and stuff for the growing-ups too. So, yeah, look, hang around. You can always head to their site too, of course, comedyfestival.com.au to find out more. Through the morning here on your second breakfast with Sonia. Stick around with us here on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Ah, yes, indeed. 1985, lift it up. Well, at this rate, we'll have, quite a few more songs, I'm sure, we'll go through the 80s and the 90s. Of course, we've got a whole 10 years of songs to do about the 90s, and we've done most of them about the 80s. There's been a few about the 60s, but not very many. Hardly any about the 70s, I don't think. And the millennial, well, we haven't even got started there yet. But I think I saw a song the other day, 2002, about 2002. two very sad times indeed. But here on Second Breakfast, we want to cheer you up today too. We don't want to be all mopey on a Thursday, 11Zs. But as we do that, we hope to have a few laughs on the way. We hope we do have a few laughs here on Second Breakfast. Hobbits laugh after they've had a few of those Lebner breads or whatever they're called. You'll have to excuse me. But in Mordor, I believe they became fried bread of some description. If you know more than I do, and you probably do, you can always SMS.
Joy, 94.9.
Yes, we should turn that off, Sonia. That's the way. That's the way you do it, you know, turning off the song when you want to have, you know, when you want to have a talk, you know. And here on the Second Breakfast, we are going to be talking a little bit. For a little while with a fabulous woman comedian that's come into the studio right now here on Joy 94.9. I want to welcome Cristela Alonso.
Oh, thank you for Second Breakfast. It sounds like my kind of morning.
Well, I have second or third sometimes.
I do too. I go into chapters. I'm like, this is my fifth breakfast. I do donuts. I do, you know, waffles, pancakes, cereal.
You should have been a cop. Do you ever think of that as a career?
Please.
Oops, wrong. Oh. So I told you, before we went on air, I did say to you, is there anything you don't want to talk about?
Yes. But, and I said no. I'll talk about anything.
But not cops. I don't mean the show, by the way.
I wish that would be interesting. That would be great. Oh my. Everybody's such a mess on that show.
Like, can you imagine if they just had implanted people like yourself, people... All the people at a comedy show right now.
But can you imagine, like, there would be a chase and I would run for like 5 seconds and then I'd be out of breath and I'm like, just let him go. he's on drugs. Let's just let him enjoy life. I'm tired.
Yes. Well, as far as career choices, maybe you have made the right one, I think.
I think so. Yeah. Comedy's pretty good. Stand-up's fantastic. Yeah. Why not? I make people laugh.
And you're here to make people laugh in Melbourne for the first time. This is your first time in Melbourne, yeah?
First time in Melbourne.
Melbourne.
Melbourne. I love saying it like that. Melbourne without the R. Melbourne.
I'm probably saying it wrong because I'm from New Zealand, so we probably say Melbourne like Melbourne.
That sounds exactly the same to me.
Excellent.
I love that you can tell a difference. And I'm like, she just said the same thing twice.
That's awesome. Now, you're here for the International Comedy Festival. It's going from 25th of March to 19th of April. You're part of something called Headliners. And it says Star Spangled Showcase of America's Hottest Comedy. You're one of the hot ones.
One of the hot ones.
Did you know you were hot?
Not until you just told me. Now I can walk out of here with my head held high. Just, I'm hot, guys.
She's hot. She's sizzling.
I'm going to walk back to the hotel and just point at people. Hot. I'm hot. I'm hot. Hot.
No, you are hot. Look, the press release here that I have is like amazing. You've made TV history already.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
You did with Cristela.
Yes.
Network TV sitcom.
Yes, network TV sitcom. I was the first Latina to create, produce, star, write in the show ever.
Right.
It's kind of insane. I love it. I mean, I love it just because when I was a kid, nobody on TV looked like me. Mm-hmm. I have brown skin and there weren't a lot of brown people on TV. And I wanted to create a show that other kids that looked like me, that felt like they were different, could see the show and kind of relate to somebody and say, hey, she looks like me. I can relate to what she's saying. So how cool is that?
Oh, that must be like a dream, something like that.
You never think you're going to get it. On certain days. No, you know, when I got the show, when I started doing stand-up, I never thought that I would still be doing it all these years, you know? You just start it because you love to do it, and then you never think you're going to get a show because it's like winning the lottery. You just, it doesn't happen for everybody. So when I got it, it's just so exciting. I still can't believe it.
I mean, you went into stand-up as something to prove to anyone,
you know,
yourself, or why was the reason?
I really loved doing stand-up, and I did theater before, and in the States when I was doing musicals, a lot of people told me back in the day that as a Latina I could only do West Side Story and Chorus Line because they were the only ones that had Latina roles in them. So after I did those shows, I thought, I'm done. I mean, what am I going to do? So I started doing stand-up so I could create my own material and do whatever I wanted to do. on my own terms, and it kind of took off, and that's how I did it. I mean, it was just, I wanted to give myself a voice. I wanted to give myself a job. I thought, if nobody else is going to give it, I'm going to create one for me.
And it's worked.
It worked.
It paid off. Yeah. But like you've said, it's all about work. Just work, work, work. It is. You just keep going.
It's work. And you gotta, you know, I always say dreams never have expiration dates.
Yeah.
So you got to keep at it, because it will happen. You just, it doesn't happen as soon as you want it sometimes, because it's not supposed to. You know, it's supposed to happen when it happens, you know.
We have an icon here. Her name is Rachel Hunter, you know, and she did a shampoo ad. And she said, well, look, you know, in the ad she goes, look, the hair won't become what you want overnight, but it will happen. You just got to keep using the same shampoo.
Yes,
and
exactly.
It's a bit like that.
Yes,
is it for you?
Yes. Just my don't get it in your eyes. Shampoo. My career is my shampoo.
No, I hate it when you get it in the eyes, though.
Oh, I know.
Why does it hurt? After they've tested on an animal, surely
it's kind of
get
like
it right.
It's like when, the day when you cut yourself, and then that's the day that you crave lemon or something, and then you put the lemon on the paper, on the cut or something, and you just want to cry.
Chili sauce.
Yes. Oh, why?
When you scratch your somewheres, you're somewheres inappropriately, it can happen.
Sonia, what are you doing in your day? Is that a TARDIS notebook?
It is.
I love
it
Doctor is. Who. I'm a Whovian.
You're a Whovian.
I'm a Whovian.
Have you been approached by Stephen Moffat to be in the TARDIS?
No, but I'm trying really hard to do it, because I really want to be in it.
Really? How do you do that? How do you get in the TARDIS?
I was taping an episode of my show months ago, mm-hmm. and my co-star is friends with David Tennant, the 10th Doctor.
Oh, wow.
And brought David Tennant to the taping of the show.
Oh, my God.
So that I could meet him, because he knew. I was... that David Tennant, the 10th Doctor, was my favorite Doctor. And
well, he had to be.
I freaked out and could not speak to him. No. I was freaking out. I was like, oh my God, you're Doctor Who! It was insane.
Was he wearing the coat? Like,
no, I wish.
Oh, I know. That's sexy, that coat. Yes. And the accent.
Oh, that accent?
Oh. Yeah. I wonder how he says Melbourne. If he says Melbourne like Melbourne or Melbourne?
He says it the right way. That's how you need to know.
So for headliners, like, you guys, like, do you know the other guys that are...
Yeah,
know,
we're actually friends.
Together?
It's actually, cool. It's funny. The show is perfect. It's mm-hmm. a great combination of comics. You have Wyatt Cenac, who was on The Daily Show for years, who's very, very funny. Hari's great. Hari and I actually just started hanging out a lot at this festival, mm-hmm. and it just, he's Indian, I'm Mexican, and we just realized we have so much in common. Mm. And we were actually talking about how we are very similar, even though our ethnicities are completely different. It just kind of goes to show you that...
The experiences,
Yeah, the experiences. Life is always similar to everybody, you know? We all have the same problems.
Or was it because the experiences being inside a dominant white culture?
Well...
It means that, hey, you're going to...
I think that helps.
Survival stuff and all those things of how you can be
visible. Yeah, but, you
visible.
Know, even culturally, we were talking about how our cultures are so similar, you know? It just, you know, we were talking about food. And we were saying that Indian food and Mexican food are actually very much alike, the authentic street foods from both cultures, because we both grew up in very similar weather. So we didn't have a lot of refrigeration. We used a lot of cumin. We used a lot of the same ingredients. Yeah. We just call them different things, but they're pretty much the same dishes.
Like, what is it? Is it cilantro? Is that other thing, coriander or something?
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yes.
Thing. You know, so, kind
but
of
it's
thing,
fun.
Yeah.
Like I love this show because we all complement each other. Mike Kaplan starts the show, mm-hmm. and you know, he sets the tone for the night. Hari goes up and he starts getting a little political. A lot of his stuff is political, very, very funny. Then I go up and I do a blend of, I think, what both Mike and Hari have done, because I do political stuff, but I also like to talk about my family, and I like to talk about my mom, you know. And then Wyatt closes out the show. I feel like overall you get a sense of four different kinds of comedy that are very complimentary, very, very fun, and the crowds have been loving the show. We've been having a great time.
And the great thing is too, that's a compliment of all the of what's happening, you know, representation, I guess, of the U.S. where the U.S. is now.
Yes,
type of thing.
It's kind of, isn't it weird that we that we have to work so hard to make sure that everyone's represented yeah. when you walk outside and everyone's represented.
They are.
Like, but isn't that weird?
When it comes to media?
No, when it comes to media, different. No. I mean, it's 2015 and I'm the first Latina to ever do what I did with my show. And that's a problem. You know, like I always tell people, like as a Latina, I want to break the glass ceiling, but the other part of me wants to clean it.
I was going to say that, you know, get out the feather duster and, I don't know. Do you know Todd Solondz, the film director? He did a interesting film. I think it was called, Storytelling, and, it has a cleaner, yes, and she is uh-huh. Latina, and yes. I think her name's Rosa. Uh-huh.
Good choice.
So you see my crappy accent just now, Rosa. Rosa. And, of course, Rosa just, she gets a bit tired of it, yeah. really, at the end of the day.
Of course,
and
I'm
to
sure.
spoil the film, she just leaves the gas on one day and walks out.
She's sassy.
Yeah, she's sassy, but she's perhaps sassy in a homicidal way. Not saying anything like that, but, yeah, so for you, family is really important.
Yeah, well, you know, I always I like talking about family because I feel like if people don't expect to relate to me, they'll end up relating to my family because we all have the same people in our family, the same archetypes, the same personalities. Yeah. Even if it's not your mother, you have an aunt or an uncle, a cousin, something. You know, my mom was this devout Catholic who hated everyone in the neighborhood. You know, who wasn't Catholic like her, you know, like who sinned. She like, you know, she would give you directions by telling you who she hated along the way, you know.
Right, it's just right. Like, who does their penance, who turns
out
the
confession.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, you go down to Maria's house, like, you know Maria, you know, like, you know, it's like, and I think we all probably know someone similar to her, and that's what makes people comfortable and want to laugh, you know. It's like, I always tell people that as different as we may look, we're all very much alike. I mean, and that's, I think, when stand-up is good, when stand-up is great, it can do that and it can bring different people together. When I do shows and I look at the audience, there's a variety of many people in the audience.
Because I was
going
to say, do you get a brown contingent?
Actually, you know, I do get a lot of brown people, but I also get, I mean, it's really kind of interesting. You would expect that back home, everybody that goes to see me is Mexican, but they're not. They're actually, I get a lot of older white people that come and see me, which is...
Do we know why?
I have no idea. Honestly, I have no idea. Maybe they don't know I'm brown.
Oh.
You know, I have a lot of families that go see me.
Yeah.
They'll bring their kids to go see me. They'll bring kids from like, you know, like 12 years old. To you know, they bring
are they school trips, maybe, you know, like here's a diversity
who
trip.
Knows you
no?
know no
wow.
I don't know you
it's,
know, it's
cool.
funny. I was doing this gig where I was doing a college, and after the show everybody came up to me to ask me for my autograph, and I thought, there's got to be something going on because nobody ever asks me for my autograph. Then I find out that this Latino studies teacher had given everybody extra credit if they got my signature after the show.
Oh my God.
So, which is great because, like, if you didn't know, you would think that I was like the funniest, most hilarious comic. Like, we have to go get her autograph. Like, yeah. But it was really homework.
Yeah, so they probably put it behind a plastic, you know, slip folder
exactly,
or something.
I know.
Pinned it to the wall. That's awesome. I think that's amazing.
It's all right.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all right.
But look, you've been in so many other things. Like, I mean, wow, Conan and...
I've done Conan three times. I love Conan's actually the one that gave me my break.
Mm-hmm.
I did stand-up on Conan, and from that set, I ended up getting the deal to do my TV show.
Wow.
So I'm very grateful for Conan, and I do Conan as much as I can, and I will always go back and do stand up on Conan because he's the guy that gave me the opportunity.
Yeah.
I'm very grateful for him.
Yeah,
I love it.
He's a cool dude. So tall. So
he's like 6'5" or something. He's huge. He makes me feel tiny, and I'm a big girl.
Yeah. Look. Also, things like Legally Brown. The Showtime.
Yes.
You know,
I had a Showtime special about where I talked about immigration, and it was very political. It was, to me, it's just important to talk about things that make people uncomfortable at times, because I feel like if you present it in a funny way, then we can have a real conversation about it. I mean, you know, about anything, you know, it's a, but you got to make people uncomfortable for a second so that they understand that the problem exists. Because that's actually what makes people uncomfortable, is actually talking about the problem and acknowledging the that there is a problem, you know.
Do you get people in the audience who have anxiety, like anxiety attacks or anything like
that? No, not at all. Face it, no, you know, it's weird. I get a lot of people that you could tell they laugh, and then when I talk about something that makes them uncomfortable, they stop laughing.
Okay.
And then I have to earn their trust back when I present the problem.
Yeah.
You know, and it's never, what I try to do is I try to present the problem in a very non-opinionated way. So you present facts.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you present the facts, then you give your opinion to show how ridiculous one side is over the other one. And I think that's the fun.
That's work, or is that just calm?
It's a lot. Like, no, it's work.
That's work.
It's work. It's work.
That's real job.
It's work.
A real job, yeah.
But I like doing it because at the end of the day, people get it. And that's a great feeling. I love that.
Yeah. What's been the highlight so far as far as an audience? Anywhere that's really stood out that you went, wow, these people do get it? Apart from the kids wanting the autograph. You know,
it's funny. I think one of the best shows I ever did was actually a couple months ago. I was doing this small town, a small farming town called Fresno, California.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tiny town. And from what I had heard, it was very hard to sell tickets there. But I sold tickets there. And what I do after the show, I always tell people, if you want to meet me or say hi to me, take a picture. I'm going to be out in the lobby and I will take a picture and meet everybody until everybody leaves. So usually, because of the show, people watch the show back home. And after the show, I stand in the lobby for 2 hours meeting everybody. And that's like almost like a separate show. And that town specifically was so grateful that I was there, because so many comics don't go to that town because they can't sell tickets.
Okay.
That they were very excited that I was there. I just took a chance because it was a heavily Latino community, and I wanted to do a show for them because a lot of people don't. And they were so grateful that you realize that's why you do stand-up, because when you entertain someone and they love it, they love it. They're so grateful. You forget that what you do matters to some people, you know? I tell jokes. It's kind of ridiculous for me to think that I tell jokes, you know? But they want to hear the jokes. And when I came out to the lobby to say hi to everybody, they had to get security because people were trying to mob me, which was insane. It was
That's
incredible.
Insane.
Yeah. It was incredible. One of the weirdest, best things I've ever had happen at a show.
But it feels like a comforter, like a beautiful brown blanket was surrounding you.
Yes,
you know?
A nice brown blanket, a cocoa. Skin the color mocha, as Ricky Martin would say.
Ricky Martin, that was terrible, sorry. Awful. Yeah, but look, what a fabulous thing. And Angry Birds, I mean, did you ever think, hey, I'm going to be a voice actor and something like this?
I'm doing Angry Birds, it's fantastic. It's like it's my first movie, and it's great. I can't talk about it at all.
Yes.
It's so secret. It's almost like I have government documents about like military that I
I noticed
about.
Those two guys in the dark suits coming up on the lift with you, and I was like, oh, this is like X-Files. Are you an X-Files fan?
I am an X-Files. How excited are you about that?
I am I'm excited about Gillian Anderson any day of the week.
Oh, isn't she gorgeous?
David's pretty cool.
But she is stunning. She has got
it. She holds it. And, looking forward to that. I know it's going to be like 6 or something episodes.
Yeah, but you know what? That was 6 we didn't have.
Exactly.
That's how I feel about it. And I'm sure, I can't wait for it. I'm so excited.
So you're a bit of a geek then.
I'm a super geek.
Wow.
I love it. I'm wearing my Return of the Jedi shirt.
Oh, faded. You love that shirt.
I love
this
shirt so much. I consider myself a geek, a nerd. I love sci-fi. I love Star Trek. I love Star Wars. Anytime there's a movie out, I go to the first showing. You know, I have waited in line for tickets. I love what I love, and I have no apologies about it. I mean, you know, I grew Doctor Who. I adore. I love anything. I don't know. I mean, I'm a geek. I'm a Latina geek, and I just feel like that was another thing in the show, I write references to Star Trek and Doctor Who and Star Wars because that's who I am in real life. And I feel like there aren't a lot of geek characters on TV aside from Big Bang Theory.
Yeah,
but
true.
You know, it's like,
true.
I wanted to do something. I wanted to show my side of what you know, what I like.
We've had a message, actually.
Okay.
That's cool. I'm really pleased. As I am baking my second breakfast, hot crust buns, I'm listening in and laughing along really loudly. Loving the discussion. Love the political personality. Yes. And political is funny. Or maybe that's just Christella, and that's from Lana.
Oh, Lana! I love you.
She has a few things happening here on Joy 94.9. So, yeah, thanks very much, Lana. That's great.
That's fantastic.
Wow. So if you could be in the verse of the Lucasverse Star Wars film, I mean, you've heard of all the spin-offs are going to be happening. Yeah, would you be in one if you could?
I don't know. You know, I am such a Star Wars purist, like, you know, because it's the first three, which is four, five, and six.
That's right.
But I grew up with that. First of all, Lucas created the world and he can do whatever he wants. So when people criticize Star Wars, I always think, well, it's his world. He created it. You can't be angry at something that came from his
but
imagination.
It's ours.
I know it is. I mean, don't get me started on Jar Jar. But you know,
right.
But it's that thing where, like, I would maybe love to be a part of it, but at the same time, I'm such a fan that I maybe want to step away from it and just enjoy it. You know, I don't know. I would love to be on Star Trek, though, just because I don't think we have enough Latinos on Star Trek.
No, I mean, there's a wonderful Zoe Saldana when it comes to color. But, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
There aren't any fat people on Star Trek. Have you noticed that? I'm overweight. Yeah. I'm chubby. I'm chubby.
It's called cuddly, isn't it? It's called comfortable.
Well.
In your own you know,
I call it extra medium.
Extra medium. Medium to large. One size does not fit all people. Certainly.
It's like there aren't any out of shape people on Star Trek, you would think. I mean, they never show a gym.
No, they don't. And nobody sweats too much.
Which is
stupid. But there's so much flair. I mean,
yeah,
you saw the flair when J.J. Abrams and all the flair, and it's like, and now there's flair jokes, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, point the shiny cameras away, people. But yeah. Well, Christella, look, we're going to have to let you go, of course.
Oh, yeah. Boo.
Boo. But look, what's happening? You're part of Headliners. It's part of the awesome International Comedy Festival here in Melbourne. And you can catch her pretty much right up to, when's the last show actually?
Sunday night.
Up this Sunday night.
Yeah, this Sunday night is the last show. We've been, this is our second week doing the show. It's a great show. It's at the Town Hall. It's at 9:45 and it's about an hour and a half. It's very funny. The four comics, I tell you, you're going to have a great time if you want to come and check it out. And we've actually had a lot of people come back for a second time. So
cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah. We like to recycle and you know, revisit things here on Second Breakfast, of course. Look, we wish you all the best. What's happening next after you finish this?
I'm going back home and I'm doing a tour of the States for the entire summer and then waiting to see if we get the second season for Christella. If we do, we start production back in June.
Cool. And doing television. That's different, yeah.
It's a different animal. Yeah. But I can't wait to get on the road and just travel the country. I love doing stand-up, so.
Cool, love it. Oh, thank you so much for coming
thank
on
so
Second
much.
Breakfast here on Joy 94.9. Keep sending the messages through. Of course you can, 0427-JOY-949. And, it's just been fabulous having you here.
Thank you.
Yay. Go, you good thing.
You go, girl.
Go, girl.
You go, girl, as my sassy friends say.
Okay. This is Joy in 94.9.
Hey there, everyone. This is Christelle Alonso, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.